Well, I always joke that people call it the permanent dividend fund, thinking that the dividends are what's permanent. The dividends are not permanent. They're very temporary.
Alaskans react to the news of this year's dividend amount. From the Alaska Public Radio Network, this is Alaska News Nightly for Friday, September 23rd. Good evening, I'm Lori Townsend. Also tonight, a tragic end to a 40-hour standoff in Anchorage.
It is not how we wanted this response to go. It is absolutely heartbreaking when these events result in a loss of life.
Those stories and more tonight on Alaska News Nightly.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
Alaska Clean Harbors reminds you to slow down and take care with any cleaning, fueling, or painting products while maintaining your boat this summer. Be smart to save money and protect our marine environment and our beautiful ocean and coastline. Let's keep the water clean and keep our fish healthy. For more information, go to alaskacleanharbors.org. This message is sponsored by Cook Inlet Keeper with funding from the Coastal Impact Assistance Program.
Governor Bill Walker announced the amount of this year's permanent fund dividend in a pre-recorded video this morning.
There you go, $1,022. So I'm glad that given our loss of 80% of our revenue, we are able to have a dividend over $1,000.
This year's dividend announcement was a little different than usual because for the first time ever, it was cut. Walker vetoed half the money for dividends earlier this year in response to the state's $4 billion deficit. We sent Rasha McChesney of Alaska's Energy Desk to find out how people feel about this year's smaller checks and to ask, where did the rest of the money go?
If you've been anywhere near social media this week, you've probably noticed it's time to find out how much the permanent fund dividend checks are going to be this year, which means it's time for the annual guessing game.
Do you know how much the PFD is this year?
What it should be tomorrow should be about $1,500.
My guess is maybe about $1,200.
I know it's not what it should be.
That's right. This year is a little bit different because this year we already know what it's going to be. Back in July, Governor Bill Walker vetoed about half the money set aside for the PFD, arguing that the state can't afford it. His veto capped the dividend at about $1,000. Without the veto, there would have been about $1.4 billion available for dividends.
That number would equal a little bit over $2,000 per Alaskan.
That's Tax Division Director Ken Alper. He and Walker argue that with the current budget crunch, the state couldn't afford that amount. As oil prices have crashed over the last 2 years, the state has covered billions in budget deficits by drawing from its savings account. If lawmakers continue on their current path, they'll burn through the state's primary savings account in about 2 years. Then they'll have to use the account the dividends come out of. Right now, that account has about $7 billion in it. At current spending levels, it will be drained in a few years as well. Then there wouldn't be money for the budget or dividends.
That could go away in another couple of years. And when the governor talks about in 2020, the dividend would go away unless there's a fiscal plan, that's just not an idle threat. It's a mathematical fact.
Alper and Walker want lawmakers to restructure the permanent fund and pass a combination of taxes and spending cuts to balance the budget. And in the meantime, they say we shouldn't spend the nearly $700 million it would have taken to give everyone in the state $2,000 checks this year. For now, that money is just staying in the account.
It's not going anywhere. It remains in the earnings reserve. It continues to be invested, and it's going to be producing income for future generations.
A lot of people aren't happy with the idea that Walker is messing with the permanent fund. One lawmaker sued. For a lot of Alaskans, that fund is inviolate. Anchorage resident Daryl Shaw was born in Alaska. His daughter was born just in time for the first dividend check in 1982. And he says when the fund was started, it was supposed to be untouchable.
I'm not, the sharpest tool in the shed, and I'm not a politician, but I'm an Alaskan. And I just don't think it's right for Governor Walker to actually reach into that fund and be able to even touch it in any way, shape, or form.
But the amount of this year's dividend in and of itself isn't uncommon. In fact, if you take an average over the last 33 years that Alaskans have gotten dividend checks, it's just under $1,100. We talked to Alaskans in Anchorage, Juneau, and Unalaska, and a surprising number said that $1,000 is good enough for them.
That's fine. It's better than taxing me.
If you're on a fixed income, it makes a difference. Yeah, you count on it. You do.
you know. But I guess I'm thinking that $1,000 is a pretty fair cap.
Well, I always joke that people call it the permanent dividend fund, thinking that the dividends are what's permanent. The dividends are not permanent. They're very temporary. They're a way of getting the public to support the necessity of saving money for the future. But the future's here.
And one way or another, the future means smaller dividends. From Alaska's Energy Desk in Anchorage, I'm Rasha McChesney.
Governor Bill Walker's administration has called a truce in its dispute with the big three North Slope oil producers over plans for Prudhoe Bay. The Department of Natural Resources has approved the latest development plan for Prudhoe, ending a standoff that raised fears the Walker administration was threatening the company's leases at the site, potentially disrupting production at the state's largest oil field. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Rachel Waldholtz reports.
This dispute goes back to January, when the Walker administration requested detailed information about how BP, which operates Prudhoe Bay, plans to market the field's massive gas reserves. It was the first time the state has made such a request, because Prudhoe doesn't currently ship gas, only oil. But the state wants assurances that BP and Prudhoe's other owners, ExxonMobil and ConocoPhillips, are preparing to make the gas available to a potential North Slope pipeline project. Here's Commissioner of Natural Resources, Andy Mack.
The state's position is that we're at a point where we need to prepare for a major gas sales.
Mack spoke from Seoul, South Korea, where he's traveling with the governor and other state officials in an effort to promote Alaska's gas line project. BP refused the Walker administration's request, arguing the information the state wants either does not exist or would be illegal to release under antitrust laws. And in June, the state declared the Prudhoe Bay plan incomplete and gave BP 2 months to try again. That decision raised concerns the state might be considering action against the company's leases if they didn't cooperate. But the state reversed course. On September 20th, Mack sent a letter approving the company's plan. He says the state didn't get all the information it requested, but the administration has been encouraged by the company's public statements in support of a state-led gas line project.
There's always a request and then there's a response. And it, you know, in many cases, it's not a perfect match. And I think that's the case here. But we felt comfortable at the end of this process that it was the right thing to do for the state of Alaska to approve the plan through 17.
The approval came with the caveat that the state expects more detailed information next year. And Anchorage Republican Kathy Giesel, who chairs the state Senate's Natural Resources Committee, says the letter seems to leave the issue open.
I think there is definitely a tone of ongoing threat to the leases on the North Slope, based on Commissioner Mack's letter. That's a concern to me as an Alaskan.
Meanwhile, the head of the State Division of Oil and Gas, Corey Feige, announced plans to resign the same day Mack's letter was sent. Feige has been the face of the Walker administration in the dispute for the past few months. But Mack says her decision has nothing to do with the Prudhoe Bay plan. A spokesperson for the division said Feige was not available to comment. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Rachel Waldholtz in Anchorage.
A standoff between a SWAT team in Anchorage and 69-year-old veteran Robert Musser ended with Musser's death early this morning after 42 hours. Alaska Public Media's Zechariah Hughes reports.
Anchorage Police Department Chief Chris Tolley says around 3 a.m., responders discovered Musher's body in his home. It was almost 15 hours after an exchange of gunfire that left two officers injured.
It was unknown at the time whether or not Musher was injured during the shooting.
Throughout Thursday afternoon and into the night, Tolley says there was no sign of Musher from inside his remote hillside home. But Tolley declined to say whether he was killed by a bullet, saying the body's been sent to a state examiner to officially determine a cause of death. Details from police suggest Musher was in a state of mental decline. In the last few months, Tolley says APD had made 4 welfare checks to the residents on the advice of concerned neighbors.
Each time officers attempted to contact Musher, he would yell through his window that he was fine, alive, and would demand our officers to leave. In one of the cases, the neighbors told officers that it appeared that Musher was potentially experiencing some mental health issues.
One of the reasons the standoff lasted so long was the difficulty officers faced accessing the house. Tolley described both the yard and the residence as crowded with many, many items. A team eventually entered the house by using armored heavy equipment and finally located Musher's body.
It is not how we wanted this response to go. It is absolutely heartbreaking when these events result in a loss of life.
Because six officers discharged their weapons, the case is considered an officer-involved shooting and will be examined by the Office of Special Prosecutions, with all six officers currently placed on administrative leave. Tali says the length and the intensity of the event has left many in the department strained.
This was a long ordeal, as well as a long week.
The standoff on the hillside was just one of three in the municipality since Monday. Another one played out simultaneously for much of Thursday, finally ending in surrender. Officials say they have no explanation for the cluster of events. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
Still to come on Alaska News Nightly, Juneau looks for answers to its homeless problem.
I was sleeping up behind a restaurant this morning. It was blowing like 35, 45 miles an hour and raining. Laying on cardboard, I had cardboard covering me. I still froze.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by
First National Bank Alaska. For nearly a century, First National has been Alaska's community bank. Learn how experience and local knowledge make the difference at fnbaalaska.com.
The Medallion Foundation and the Federal Aviation Administration provide information on passengers' rights and responsibilities. More information at faa.gov/go/flyalaska. This message is sponsored by the Medallion Foundation.
A federal appeals court has sided with United Cook Inlet Drifters Association, or UCIDA, in a lawsuit seeking to return Cook Inlet salmon management to federal fisheries control. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled this week to send the suit back to federal district court to have an earlier judgment entered in favor of the commercial fishing organization. The suit, filed in 2013, charges state salmon management disregards certain regulations of the Magnuson-Stevens Act, resulting in under-harvesting of inlet salmon. UCIDA Vice President Eric Hibbs says the organization filed suit after a North Pacific Fishery Management Council decision removed Cook Inlet salmon from the federal management plan.
We do not want federal management of salmon in Cook Inlet. What we do want to see is that the management of salmon in Cook Inlet, the management plans have to comply with the federal standards within the Magnuson-Stevens Act.
Hibbs says the decision requires the council to go back and work with the state on a salmon management plan for Cook Inlet that complies with the Magnuson-Stevens Act and then delegate day-to-day management back to the state.
Well, it will certainly take time to construct a proper fishery management plan for this area, and it's unlikely that that could be done prior to next season. So we'll need to work together with the managers, with National Marine Fisheries Service, and with the state of Alaska, and come up with some interim agreement.
Chris Oliver, executive director of the council, says he is not able to comment on the Ninth Circuit decision until there is time to confer with other federal agencies on the meaning. State Department of Fish and Game officials did not return calls for comment by news time. Anchorage is anticipating a budget gap of more than $20 million because of diminishing state funding. Mayor Ethan Berkowitz shared the gloomy forecast with members of the Assembly during a work session on the budget today. He and members of the administration detailed the loss of state dollars leading to a drop of $24 million from last year's budget. That stems in part from a dramatic reduction in community revenue sharing, the loss of a multi-million dollar dividend from the municipality's electric utility, and costs being shifted to the city from the state for things like snow removal, housing prisoners, and paying for public safety services. Though Berkowitz says his administration is discussing possible revenue sources to close the multi-million dollar budget gap, he declined to provide specific proposals, saying he plans to bring a balanced budget to the Assembly this week. In Bethel, Derek Adams, a man recently banished from Newnham Iqua, was arrested for violating his parole. Law enforcement found hundreds of dollars in cash and a large amount of heroin. KYUK's Adrian Wagner has more.
Bethel Police Officer Sergeant Jeff Lee stopped Derek Adams early Wednesday morning in a routine traffic stop, according to Lee's report. Adams gave Lee a false name, Derek James, but Lee recognized Adams and at the same time smelled alcohol on his breath. Lee arrested Adams for violation of his parole, which forbade the consumption of alcohol. Later, it was determined that Adams also tested positive for THC and opiates. After Adams was taken to the Yukon-Kuskokwim Correctional Center, he attempted to dispose of a package filled with a suspicious substance while using the bathroom. In an affidavit, officials said that they found the package hidden behind a toilet and then strip-searched Adams and found another package. Samples from both tested positive for heroin. The report goes on to say that suspected heroin was split into smaller portions wrapped in tinfoil. Some had been numbered, indicating Adams was probably selling the drugs or delivering them. Police said that a gram of heroin sells for $500 to $800 in Bethel. Several hundred dollars was also found on Adams. Authorities are charging Adams with two drug-related felonies, along with one drug-related misdemeanor. The arrest comes just a week after Adams was sentenced to time served and what amounted to 10 years of probation for criminally negligent homicide connected with a 2013 fire that killed three people in the village of Nunamiqua. Adams was jailed for 3.5 years following the fire, released for good behavior, and then banished by Nunamiqua and two nearby villages. In Bethel, I'm Adrian Wagner.
With the announcement of this year's permanent fund dividend, travel deals are heating up. And as APRN's Josh Edge reports, this weekend, some of the companies with the best PFD deals will be under one roof.
Scott McMurrin is what you might call a travel guru. He runs the website Alaska Travelgram, keeping readers up to date on the best travel opportunities. And for years, he says companies have met the annual distribution of the permanent fund dividend with enticing deals that have led travel-hungry Alaskans all over the world.
Alaska Airlines, and before them, Mark Air, and Delta, and Western, and Northwest, and all these airlines used to kick in some travel deals. Hawaiian Vacations used to come up with some great deals. We, you know, travel agents, tour operators all over have traditionally, you know, kind of matched up some great deals in conjunction with the distribution of the PFD.
While Mark Air, Western Airlines, and Northwest are no more, and travel planning websites like Expedia and Travelocity have largely replaced travel agents, plenty of companies are still vying for a piece of the dividend payout. And now, for the first time, those companies are coming under one roof at the Bill Sheffield Alaska Railroad Depot at Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport. Lots of prizes will be given out at the travel fair, including tickets on Alaska Airlines, flight seeing tours, trips on the Alaska Railroad, and many others. One of the most exciting prizes, McMurrin says, is a trip to Rarotonga in the Cook Islands south of Hawaii.
It's a South Pacific paradise. There's about 15 islands down there. It's amazing.
Another highlight of the fair is a trip for two to Petropavlovsk-Kamchatsky. It's a trip McMurrin took in August, and he says one must-do activity is a trip to the Valley of Geysers.
It's like a Yellowstone and Katmai all jammed into one. There's geysers and steam vents and bubbling mud pools and bears. And if you go out hiking, you're accompanied by a bear guide with the biggest Kalashnikov you've ever seen.
Overall, McMurrin says about $20,000 in prizes will be given out. The PFD Travel Fair is on Saturday, September 24th, from noon to 5 p.m. In Anchorage, I'm Josh Edge.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by Wells Fargo, extending its support of Alaska residents beyond banking by supporting the programming of public radio throughout Alaska, giving back to the community. Wells Fargo, together we'll go far.
October 4th is REAA Election Day. Polls are open at 8 a.m. until 8 p.m. You will be voting for REAA school board candidates. When you go to vote, bring identification. If your name is not on the list or you don't have ID, you may vote a question ballot. The question ballot updates your voter registration. If you need language or other assistance while voting, ask the election board or bring someone to assist you. This message sponsored by the Division of Elections.
Ketchikan,
Kotzebue,
Dillingham,
Sitka,
Chugiak,
Fairbanks,
Fort Yukon,
Wrangell,
Barrow,
Unalaska, Dutch Harbor,
Alaknarechamut.
This is AK on Alaska News Nightly. I'm Dave Waldron. This week on AK, out in the open. A new figurine in Juneau is part of a national effort to bring awareness to homelessness. The social art project began in Charleston, South Carolina, where the city collaborated with a design firm to make 430 plywood figures, the estimated number of homeless people in Charleston at the time. The figures were then placed in front of their city hall. Now, the project has gone national, and every state capital has been asked to put one of these figures in front of their city hall in solidarity. KTOO's Scott Burton brings us this story.
It's a nice afternoon as Michael Spoon stands in front of Juneau's City Hall looking at the abstract figure.
You can tell it's humanoid form. What is this? A bench?
The figure's a little taller than Spoon, who's been homeless in Juneau since December. It's hollow to symbolize the invisibility of homeless people. And there's an image of a bench with a house as a shadow near the figure's beltline. Spoon didn't sleep on a bench last night, but close.
I was sleeping up behind a restaurant this morning. It was blowing like 35, 45 miles an hour and raining. Laying on cardboard, I had cardboard covering me. I still froze.
Spoon says he's been homeless in Juneau 6 or 7 times before, and in several other cities.
Sitka, back in my hometown. Seward, Alaska, Anchorage, Alaska. Seattle, Portland.
The figure is next to the large City Hall signboard. A couple walks by, cameras in hand.
You got another cigarette on you?
The man, with a cigarette in his mouth, shakes his head no.
That's another issue around here, too, is the drugs. So, well, I'm an alcoholic, but I try to take a break from it once in a while and keep on trying to find work.
He also says that violence is an issue, but that it's the same everywhere. Overall, Spoon says that Juneau seems better than some other places.
You get to wash your clothes take a shower at the Glory Hole and you get fed 3 times a day. These other cities I was in, you only got to eat once a day and you could never use the shower because somebody else was always in there and beat you to it or something. And
What advice would you have for Juneau?
Oh, just keep trying, I guess. Find enough resources of what's around you and try to use them. And they're starting to do the housing thing and stuff. I got missed that out on 5 minutes. Some guy beat me by 5 minutes. He was the last guy to sign up for the housing.
The housing Spoon is referring to is Juneau's Housing First facility, now under construction, about 10 minutes from downtown. The 32-unit building, which should be done in May of 2017, is meant for people like Spoon. The idea is that with a stable living environment, people can then address their addictions, get medical attention, find work.
We've had a great community effort in the last 5 years.
Scott Chambor is Juneau's chief housing officer. He's among a group of organizers and planners that have made the Housing First project a reality. He's looking at the wooden cutout.
Unlike the figurine, which is supposed to represent, you know, invisibility and not seeing homeless people as part of communities, we've gotten past that hurdle and are making active choices for solutions.
If Juneau were to fully emulate Charleston's project, we'd put 216 figurines, maybe in Marine Park. 216, by the way, is the number of homeless people Juneau's point-in-time survey found in January. Chambor is proud of the 32-unit Housing First project, but he says we still have more work to do.
Realistically, that is a small sample targeted to those who are most vulnerable. So there are still opportunities slightly up the spectrum, more low-income, affordable housing, more supported housing that's maybe not as intensive as that project, and some more, you know, private market rentals that social service providers can connect with to put some of their clients in.
A couple walks by, and I ask them what they think of the figure. I realize it's preaching to the choir. Eddie Snell is off a cruise ship from Florida and is active in his community's efforts to fight homelessness.
We should not have large numbers of people roaming the streets without receiving some type of help in this country with all the resources we have.
Michael Spoon agrees, but he has a more immediate concern.
I don't know where I'm going to sleep tonight.
For AK, I'm Scott Burton.
Now, unfortunately, the figurine sitting in front of City Hall was stolen the day after this story was recorded, but you can still see a picture of it at alaskapublic.org. And now it's time for 49 Voices. This week we're hearing from Rex Koenig in Anchorage. Koenig is originally from Nome, but he moved to the Mountain View neighborhood in the 80s.
It was nice back in the 80s. Nobody around, less crime, nobody died. Now it's like total different. When I used to live here, 12, 1 or 2 in the morning, you don't hear nothing. Now it's like, psh, psh, psh. Not every night. Every now and then you hear, you know, shots fired. It's like, yeah. It's just horrible. We are cancer of the earth, basically. Destroying the earth, you know. Don't care whose land it is or whose property. Just destroy it or rebuild it. I hate that. Just lie in bed and go, I wish I was in home. But I had fun here. Before this was library, the library was in Clark Middle School. That was kind of interesting back then. I pretty much go to the library Wednesdays through Saturdays. Download fonts compared to my old typewriter, Underwood typewriter. It's a darn good one. I like it. It still works. I cleaned it up. It had a bunch of cat hair, dog hair, human hair, you name it. I mean, it's better than today's technology. You don't actually have to have no batteries, no recharging. You can actually still type. Holy cow.
Rex Koenig lives in Anchorage. 49 Voices is AK's attempt to put every Alaskan on the radio. Thanks for listening to AK this week. We had help from Scott Burton, Ann Hillman, and Wesley Early. Tune in next week for more unique stories from around the state. I'm Dave Waldron.
That's all for this edition of Alaska News Nightly. Tonight's stories can be found at our website, alaskapublic.org, and you can follow us on Twitter at APRN. We had reports tonight from Rasha McChesney, Josh Edge, Rachel Waldholtz, Ellen Lockyer, and Zachariah Hughes in Anchorage, Liz Ruskin in Washington, D.C., and Adrian Wagner in Bethel. Our audio engineer is Dave Waldron, Eric Bork is our web editor, and I'm Lori Townsend. Have a great weekend.
Alaska News Nightly was made possible by ConocoPhillips, investing in oil and gas production and creating economic opportunities for Alaskans. ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. If you're looking for business opportunities in the government marketplace, you'll want to know about the Alaska Procurement Technical Assistance Center. Alaska PTAC helps businesses navigate the challenging process of the federal, state, and local government procurement cycles with offices in Anchorage and Fairbanks and delivers services statewide. More information at ptacalaska.org. This message brought to you by Alaska PTAC.
Alaska Clean Harbors reminds you to slow down and take care with any cleaning, fueling, or painting products while maintaining your boat this summer. Be smart to save money and protect our marine environment and our beautiful ocean and coastline. Let's keep the water clean and keep our fish healthy. For more information, go to alaskacleanharbors.org. This message is sponsored by Cook Inlet Keeper with funding from the Coastal Impact Assistance Program.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.